Scripture reading for today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and we'll read verses 105 to 112, page 962 in your pew Bible. Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112, page 962. Tonight we are invited back again to our second service on this Lord's Day. We look at the last Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism. We look at the lines of the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." A very fitting conclusion to the Lord's Prayer and a very fitting conclusion to the Heidelberg Catechism as well, and so that's what we'll be talking about tonight. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds together saying, "Thanks be to God." "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I've taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your ways. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. And then our text is the first part of that. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I've taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws." Dear visitors, dear congregation, dear confessors of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, when you professed your faith, you made an oath this morning. That's right. You made an oath before God and before his people today. We're all familiar with an oath, are we not, brothers and sisters? What's an oath again? An oath is when you say something or promise to do something and you really mean it. Matter of fact, you mean it so much, you're even willing to be held accountable for it. That's right. In court, for example, when we get on the stand, we make oaths there too, right? We put our hand on the Bible, and we swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And if we are caught not telling the truth on the stand, we are held accountable for that. We can be charged for that. We can even go to jail if we lie in court. Yes, when we make an oath, we publicly declare before witnesses and before God himself that we mean what we say. This morning, these three young people all made an oath as well, of sorts. You didn't say very much to actually make that oath. I mean, all you said was, "I do." That's it. Two little words, but it's a full oath nonetheless. And you will be held accountable for it. God will hold you accountable, and so will the church. That's why we asked you that question number 4 about if you're willing to submit to the admonition and discipline of the church if you become delinquent either in doctrine or in life. I mean, that's what's all involved when you make an oath. And so that's what you did this morning. You vowed, you swore, you oathed to stand up for Jesus and to bear your cross, and you want Christ and his church to hold you accountable for it. Quite the serious thing, then, this profession of faith today. Now, maybe many of us did not know that this is what profession of faith is really all about. I mean, did you know that, dear congregation? You three up here should know this because we talked about that in our classes together, but maybe many of us did not know that. Yes, for all of us who made profession of faith sometime in the past, be it a long time ago or maybe only just a year or so ago, did you know that you made an oath? More importantly, have you been keeping your oath? Does your walk and does your lifestyle show that you made a big and important vow once upon a time? Did you know that God will hold you accountable for this? No small thing, this public profession of faith. Now, congregation, this whole idea of making an oath to commit oneself to follow the Lord, this whole idea has a long history in the Christian church. I mean, this is not something that Calvin Christian Reformed Church made up or that the Christian Reformed Church made up. No, no. There's biblical precedence for this going all the way back. It goes all the way back even into the Old Testament. I think of the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, Israel is about to enter the promised land. And before they enter, what do? They make a vow. They make an oath to serve the Lord. Matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 27, seven times the people say they're willing to be cursed if they do not keep their side of the covenant. In Nehemiah, Israel returns from exile. And again, all the people who are able to understand, they bind themselves with a curse and an oath, says Nehemiah 10, verse 29, to follow the law of Moses. This whole idea of making an oath to serve the Lord, why, we even find that in our text for today from Psalm 119. How about we look at that text again for a moment, shall we? What does the psalmist say there again? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. Psalm 119, you understand, is that familiar psalm where the psalmist sings about God's law, right? I mean, that's what this psalm is all about. From verse 1 all the way up to verse 176, the last verse. The psalmist praises the Lord for his law and for his word and for his promises. Now, in this psalm, though, the psalmist is not content just to talk about God's law and sing about it. No, he wants to obey it. And he wants to be very serious about it. And so he makes an oath. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. That's why you three individuals made an oath here this morning. There's biblical precedence for it. God's people have done this in the Old Testament. They have done it in the New Testament. And you have done it here today. Congratulations. Praise God. Now, maybe after hearing all this, some of us may be wondering, well, yeah, an oath, boy, that sounds pretty scary. The church? Even God will hold me accountable? What, God will judge me, curse me if I don't uphold my profession of faith? Yeah, maybe some of us are thinking, well, if I would have known that, I would have never done profession of faith. Maybe some of you people right here, this might be thinking, yeah, maybe we did this too fast. Maybe I want to back out now. Maybe some other people here today who never did profession of faith before are thinking, boy, if that's what all implies, I'm never going to do profession of faith. Yes, all of it may sound too demanding, too scary. That's why we need to talk about why any Christian would even dare to make such an oath in profession of faith. Why would any Christian, why did these three people do this today? Why? It's because of God. It's because God is so good. He's so good. You know, it's like a wedding. When a man and a woman get married, they make vows to each other, right? A guy, when he gets married, he promises before God and before witnesses that he will have and to hold his wife and never forsake her as long as their lives shall last. You think, why would any guy want to make an oath like that? I mean, that's probably very demanding too, right? That's scary. Here a guy promises and vows to live with that girl for the rest of his life. Who in their right mind? And yet, when a guy looks into the eyes of his bride and sees how beautiful she is and how great they have it, he thinks, of course, what better thing can I do than to promise my commitment to her by way of an oath? Same thing goes with public profession of faith. After we see who our God is and what he has done to save his people in his love and in his grace, what better thing can we do than to promise our commitment to him by way of an oath? That's the way the psalmist looks at it in our text for today from Psalm 119. Notice, first of all, that our text for today is essentially a prayer. It's a prayer, okay? So you have to see the psalmist standing there before the face of God. He has his eyes closed, he has his hands folded, and so he's talking to God in his prayer. He's putting into effect in his own life the marriage relationship that he has with his God. So look what he says now in his prayer. He says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." He's praising God for this. God has been good to him. And so he says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And so that's why I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. See? The psalmist praises God for the lamp to his feet and the light for his path. And notice that the psalmist assumes that it's a pretty dark world out there. That's why he needs the light and the lamp. It's dark outside. And it is. It's dark outside because of sin. Because of sin, we can't see where we're going. It's dark. And so we may try to travel down the path of life and go somewhere, but what do we forever do? We always get lost. We don't know where we're going. And sometimes we actually slide off the road. Sometimes we slip into the ditch. Sometimes we fall off the bridge. And the worst case scenario, sometimes we fall into a huge ravine, into oblivion. Because of sin, we don't know where we are going in this world. But you see, God is so good. God has given us a lamp. He's given us his light. We have his word. We have his commandments, we have his promises, we have the gospel. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path, says the psalmist. Praise God. And so when I grab hold of my Bible, when I take my Bible and when I open it and I hear the gospel laid out for me, when I hear the promises of new life proclaimed there in Jesus Christ and the direction for life outlined there, then I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. What a blessing. With Bible in hand, I don't have to get lost. I can avoid the potholes on the road. And I can see that ditch. And I can see the bridge that's coming up. And I can see where the ravines are, so I can stay far away from them as I travel through life. And to think that we have the Holy Spirit who works through the Word, to think that the Holy Spirit enters my life through the reading of that Word and through the preaching of that Word from Sunday to Sunday, to comfort me, to strengthen me, to lift me up in the path of life. Wow! Of course. What's the least that I can do? What's the least? The least I can do is commit myself by way of an oath to serve the Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. And I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. Yes, it's very fitting that you three took an oath today. For at your baptism, God made an oath to you. Long ago, at your baptism, God promised to be your God. And he didn't just promise. Like we often make promises. I'll be home for supper at 6 o'clock, I promise. No, no. He promised it with a sign and a seal. That's what baptism is. It's a sign and seal of his oath to you. And so long ago, God made his oath to you, and now today you respond in like manner. You made your oath to him. Your marriage vows are kind of complete now, hallelujah. They're all complete in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who suffered. Jesus Christ who died. Jesus Christ who rose for you. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes to you in Christ. And so through Christ, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. That's what you did this morning. You said amen. You said amen to God's yes in Christ. The perfect marriage. It's a perfect marriage in, by, through Jesus Christ. And so we move forward by grace through faith. James, he's going back to HD this fall. Olivia, she's off to Conestoga to study physiotherapy. Jill, she's off to Guelph, most likely, to study children and family studies, off to enter the world of academia. It's a big world out there. It's an exciting world. It's God's world. And so working and studying, it's all part of the grand cultural mandate that God has given us. There are so many wonderful opportunities for all three of you to use your talents for the Lord. But as we all know, the working world of employment and the world of academia is very much distorted by sin. It's all around. It's all around us all. There are so many pressures, so many potholes. There is peer pressure, there is academic pressure, there is constant pressure to deny the faith that you have professed today. We need to be prepared. We need to be firm. We need to be firm in the Word. Three things then to help you keep the vows that you've made today. Three things. Number one, remember who you are. Remember your identity. According to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2 verse 11, you are aliens and strangers. Peter's not saying that you have come from outer space. No. He's saying that you're like refugees. You're like people who've come from a faraway country. And so everything is strange to you. Everything ought to be strange for you because you're different. You are different. And that's because you belong to Christ. And the guidelines you live by are the righteous laws of God. This is your identity. You are in Christ, and this is your guideline. This is your identity. Perceive yourself that way and never forget it. Number two, read your Bible every day. Make this a very thick, entrenched, make it a strict habit. Read your Bibles. This is so important. This is how the Bible remains a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. And number three, keep the church the center of your life. What I'm saying here is go to church. When you go off to university, go to church. Make the communion of the saints your people. Let the church help you. Let the church encourage you. Let the church feed you. Let the church's preaching of the word help you be the lamp and the light. And you do these three things, and you'll be blessed. Of course you will, for this is how it works. In baptism, God came to you with his promises. In profession, you respond. In response to that, God supplies more grace, which commits us more. And back and forth we go. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. It's Jacob's ladder all over again. Heaven and earth interacting with each other together. That's how it goes when we live by the word of God that God has given to us by his grace. May God richly bless you to keep your vows. It is very fitting and right. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We have it, a lamp, a light for our very dark world, so we know where we can go. We have guidelines to live by in a world where there are so many pressures and forces that want us to undermine the faith that has been professed today. So I pray, Father, for these three individuals here. And I pray, Father, for all of us who have made public profession of faith in the past, may we understand that we have made vows. May we have taken an oath that you will hold us accountable. But we pray, Father, that we may live these vows not in fear, but in total joy, because you are the God who is committed to us. You've given us your own Son, Jesus Christ, and he did it all. He died, and he rose, and he reigns, and he's coming again, and he's going to make everything new. Father, bless us to that end. May your kingdom come in all of its fullness. May your word be a lamp and a light for us all. Bless your people. Bless your church. May we grow in you, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.